Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Even though we didn't get what we wanted, we all had the same mindset. You know, we all knew what the goal was. We all knew what the objective was, and we was working towards that. And even though the cars didn't fall our way, I feel like we can run it back. I'm definitely excited to hear the coaches come back. Hopefully we get as many players we can get to come back as we can so we can build from this and not start over, but just start from now and build and just get better.
Buffalo Bills right guard Osiris Torrence there, and I think he's going to get a lot of his wish. The Bills don't have a ton of cap space. Greg Thompson at Cover One, saw that was reported yesterday, $25 million what he was seeing for the Bills in terms of cap space this year. They've also got a lot of guys they're going to have to re-sign. Osiris Torrence brought that up. But I think a key, you know, not addition, but just retaining him, Joe Brady is going to come back as OC. We knew that before the AFC Championship game. One thing I do want to rectify, my bad on the Mari Schottenheimer stuff. Did make it to three AFC Championships and I believe his 21-year coaching or head coaching career, although does still stand a reason. He went 5-13 in the playoffs for much of his career, really lost all the time in wild card games, including having a very talented San Diego team in his later career, losing a wild card game, then losing the divisional round as well to go 0-2 with San Diego. But for more on the Bills, what we heard yesterday in Locker Cleanout Day, and also just really now the season as a whole, we go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how we doing?
All right, guys, you know, just another day of kind of reflecting back and watching some things from Sunday, and then obviously talking with players yesterday in the locker room.
Yeah, so on yesterday, I mean, we saw a lot of quotes. Some of the key stuff was brought up. We kind of know that Kincaid was dealing with an injury for much of the year, or for at least a portion of the year. I believe it was a torn PCL. We also heard, as we heard an Osiris Torrence clip there, but he mentioned, too, talking about the blitz that Kansas City brought and just, you know, kind of it was a great play designed by Spags. What else did you hear, though, yesterday from all the players? I mean, Allen spoke for, I think, almost 20 minutes.
Yeah, there was a few things. We had about, I think there's a good 10 to 12 players people can go listen to back at the WGR550.com and the Odyssey app. You know, Josh obviously talked and you know, the disappointment in it, but the belief still going forward. I think that was a common theme. Like, you know, everybody understands that you climb the mountain and you get near the top. And then when you lose, you have to go all the way back down. But guess what you have to do? You have to climb the mountain again. I mean, that's really just what it comes down to. And they all recognize that the team will change. It does every year. You're not going to play with the exact same 53, 60 guys, whatever it is, who come and go throughout the season. You know, and that's tough for everyone. At the same time, guys are dealing with some contract situations. Reed Ferguson is scheduled to become a free agent. He's the longest tenured Bill. You know, I know he spoke very much about wanting to be in Buffalo. I don't know if the Bills want to go out and get a new long snapper. He's not like he's super old and he can't do it anymore. That's one guy there. Von Miller is under contract, but he has a $23 million cap hit. He said he's playing next year. He said, I'm going to be a Buffalo Bill. I'm coming back and playing. He said, I don't want to speak to the organization, but I think they want me back too. It was asked about restructuring his contract possibly to make that happen. He opened the door to that. He said, there's always things you can do to make things work. Osiris Torrence was very good on explaining what happened on the fourth down and five, the final Bills offensive final play of the season where Josh lofted it up and Dalton Kincaid couldn't come down with it. And, you know, it explained that, you know, their defense had generally been blitzing from the side they do not show. So the Bills slid that way, but they came from the side they were showing. Good call by Steve Spagnuolo, obviously. There's just a lot of things that, you know, we talk with a lot of people about. And then we're going to hear from Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean at some point this week. We don't have the official schedule yet. Not sure if it'll be together or probably separate, or if it's going to be the same day or a different day.
Sal, the one thing that I noticed yesterday, specifically with Allen, was the way he talked about the season Dalton Kincaid had. And the quote that stood out to me was, quote, I've got to be better for him. I didn't feel like I put him in a good enough situations this year, ball placement-wise. That's kind of interesting to me because Kincaid, like, we've talked about it a lot here, barring the last play of the game, this season for Kincaid has been a little bit of an up and down season. He's had a little bit of a sophomore slump, if you want to call it that. But it's interesting to see that Allen kind of puts some insight in there and saying that he could have been better. And I just, what do you think about that? Like, do you think it is a little bit of both, or do you think, you know, it's kind of maybe Kincaid has to work on some stuff in the offseason? More so than Allen has
to work
on.
Well, listen, I think it's all of that, right? Look, Josh is going to take. Josh is a leader. He's the quarterback. And everything we've known about Josh Allen, he's going to take accountability. Josh Allen could throw a guy a perfect pass, hit him in the hands. Guy drops it. Josh is going to say, I got to put it in a better spot. It's just the way he's going to be.
Right,
he's always
right.
going to talk about that. I think the overall issue here, though, the question you're asking is more about the overall chemistry between Josh and Dalton Kincaid this year. And I thought Dalton Kincaid would be a huge part of this offense. What we're seeing from what Brock Bowers did in Vegas, what we've seen from what Sam Laporta's doing, I mean, even an older Zach Ertz in Washington with a rookie quarterback. I mean, there's just ways that teams are using their really athletic mismatched tight end, which we were told Dalton Kincaid is, that the Bills aren't doing. And they need to find a way to do that next year. I get the everybody eats mentality. That's great. But if you're going to draft a tight end in the first round, 2 years later, I think, you know, you need to say, like, why did we draft him? Because he's a mismatch here and he can do that. Now, that said, according to Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid had a torn PCL at some point this year and also had, I think, something going on fluid or something build up in the other knee. So very well could have been part of the reason for, you know, maybe everything didn't hit. And if those things happen early in the year, if they happen in training camp, if they happen within the first couple of weeks, it's tough to recover because by the time you get in the season, you're game planning every week. You don't have the time on task to be able to, like you do in training camp. So I think that it's a very big offseason for Dalton Kincaid going into year three. If you guys look back historically under Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott team since they've been here, year three has been a critical year for a lot of people to make jumps. That's Greg Rousseau. That's Taron Johnson. That's Khalil Shakir. Like year three, Gabe Davis. I think he did some things his first 2 years. But like that year three is always a very critical year in a Bills developmental system, I guess, if you will. And I think this is a big offseason and next year is a big year for Dalton Kincaid.
So, Sal, now looking to the offseason, you know, as far as this team got, they get to the AFC Championship. They had a historically good offense, very efficient. But there does seem to be some pretty clear needs for the Bills. Where, just if right off the top, two days into the offseason, where do you think is maybe the biggest need for the Bills heading into both free agency and the draft?
I think I could come up with three of them. And I think you can prioritize them either any way, but I'm not sure how you want to. You know, however you want to do it. I think they have to address their boundary corner position in some way because Christian Benford's the only guy you have coming back that you can really rely on to say he's really good. What do you have outside of him? Because Rasul Douglas did not have a fantastic year. And I think you could go into the next season with Rasul Douglas. I think I'd be okay with that, but I'd still be very kind of a little weary of what happens. You know, what if he doesn't ever get back to, or what if he has another down year as he starts to get older? Because what we saw after Benford went out is just not good enough. Kyre Elam is not playing at an NFL level, and the Bills are using him. I love Jamarcus Ingram. I think Jamarcus Ingram deserves a shot. He could wind up being the starter there. But if you go into next year, and I told you right now Jamarcus Ingram's the starter, I think people would say, ooh, you got to do better than that because we haven't seen him actually have that role, and he'd have to step up. It'd be a big spot for him. I think they have to address something in the interior to help stop the run. They were better as the season went on, but they run such a penetrating system. Ed Oliver's a little bit undersized. Daquan Jones had a good year, not a really strong year like he did maybe last year. I think that's got to be something. I actually have four spots. And of course, pass rush, right? I mean, these are all on the defensive side. I think the only spot I'm really comfortable with right now on the defense is linebacker and maybe safety, knowing that Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp will be together, right? Mm-hmm. I think that I'm feeling pretty good about Rapp and Bishop together after what I saw from Bishop. And I think the middle of the field is okay. You know, in the back six, whatever, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever, and back seven. But I think the boundary. And then pass rusher, obviously, I think anytime you can upgrade, get a really stud pass rusher is a great time. And I think they have to address wide receiver again. I think it's a different conversation as last year where you traded Diggs, you let Gabe Davis go, and it was, oh my God, there's nobody. We've seen Josh Allen elevate pretty much anybody now, right? We know they can do that. I still think they need more though, guys, right? It's what they had this year when it came time to have critical plays in the biggest of games. We didn't know who they were going to come from, and there weren't enough guys there to be able to choose that one right guy to come to.
Sal, I do want to backtrack here real quick because the Bills just announced James Cook and Connor McGovern are heading to the Pro Bowl. They're serving as alternates for Derrick Henry and Creed Humphrey. But on James Cook, we had a few calls on hold we weren't able to get to, but both were mentioning why James Cook was not on the field to end the game on that Bills final drive. Do you have any insight on that or any thoughts kind of on that final drive? I know for me, not necessarily with Cook, I have been a little frustrated today seeing that there was 18 seconds left on the play clock before or when the Bills snapped the ball. It just it seemed like a lot of stuff the last on Sunday was rushed by the Bills. Maybe that's on Josh Allen, maybe that's on coaching, but it felt like there was a lot of stuff that was rushed that didn't necessarily need to be.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, even the poor third down spot, which led to the possibly poor fourth down spot. I mean, I don't want to frame it like I'm blaming on the refs. I'm not. Mm-hmm. But the controversial spots, right, at the end, with 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Even then, once they had that spot on third down, you could make an argument, well, wait a minute. If you wait, maybe replay assist gives them the first down, or maybe Sean McDermott challenges the spot. But they went right up to the line and ran the fourth down. They got stopped right there. It was bam, bam. I mean, the series is over right there, right? They rushed up there. 18 seconds left. Yeah, they could have waited. I think the reason for that would be, guys, they thought they knew it was coming, and they were wrong. So they snapped it when they snapped it, if that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, they look, Josh had two cadences there. He goes through his first cadence to see. What he does is he goes to all that, to see if they start coming. He said he did not see anything. They didn't switch it up. So from there, I think you're comfortable. I don't think that another 18 seconds would have mattered in that situation, I guess, because if Josh does his first cadence and they don't change, then he's just going with, okay, this is what they're coming with. And what happened was they came from the opposite side, as we said. So, credit the Chiefs for that one. And then as far as Cook not being on the field, I agree. We haven't heard from Joe Brady, but my guess is because they wanted to. Now, obviously, James Cook can catch the ball, but we know Ty Johnson's a very good pass catcher. What Ty Johnson does very well compared to James Cook is pass protect. My guess is they wanted to make sure they had an extra guy back there in order to pass protect, or at least to give the Chiefs the idea that the running back is pass protecting, and then he could also go out for a pass. That's just my guess. I would have liked to see James Cook as well on the field.
Sal, looking at just Allen's play overall, where do you think that the kind of just hyperness came from? I mean, it seemed like it was a Josh Allen we hadn't seen all season. He was, and I don't want to rag on him too much, but like he was throwing balls in places that we hadn't seen him throw to in a long time. Like I just saw a highlight I was watching of him throwing to Keon Coleman with two guys on him down on the goal, or three guys on him down on the goal line. It's just like, where did those come from and why did they come out at the time they did, right? Like even when it was earlier in the game was still close and it wasn't, high pressure situation. I guess not as high pressure as the end of the game, but it just felt like that was an Allen we hadn't seen in a long time.
Well, I think the beginning of the game, Josh is always kind of a little too amped up. Sometimes he's too amped up. Remember the beginning of the Ravens game, he overshoots Mac Hollins on a hole shot. He's wide open, right? It seems like right in that spot. Like a lot of times we've seen that. Josh gets a little too amped up, like in the beginning of a game. Remember when he used to say that he liked to get hit early in the game just so he can feel it and get into the game. And I think the adrenaline can be pumping. You're making decisions fast. You're trying to make a play. Not good passes those first two plays. Josh runs the ball first, and hey, they got him. Maybe he said, I want to get hit early in the game in this one. He got hit. He's into the game. And then they throw two passes, and both of them are off target. And I think the other stuff just goes to trying to make a play. I mean, it's the AFC Championship, and yeah, you'd like him to be settled down and just, be super calm, but they were also, they were coming at him and they were blitzing sometimes and there's pressure and there's a lot that's going on down there and things are moving very, very fast. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that he still had a good game overall. Not great. Still made some money passes when they counted, when they needed. Guys didn't help him with a couple drops here or there. So I think it just goes to the overall situation of the game and him trying to make a play because Josh Allen is trying to make a play.
All right, Sal, last thing for me, not on the Bills, but I like to have fun with this. One of my favorite things is introductory press conferences for head coaches because they either go one of two ways. They're amazing and everyone's hyped up, Aaron Glenn yesterday with the Jets, or we get memes out of them. Liam Cohen with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did you see how he said Duvall?
Oh. I did not. I've seen... Man. Some things going on about it, but I have not paid attention or listened. What happened?
It was the most uninspiring, like Like
it's
if
bad.
You, like if you think of how people like when you're at a Jacksonville game, they get up and they get loud.
Duval.
Yeah, it was more
they
of
tried.
A. It was more of a Duval. Like it was like it was really weird.
Wow.
It was like high pitched okay. and like almost like he was like scared to say it. Like it was so weird.
Well, you're right. Press conferences can go a lot of different ways, and they don't really mean much, to be honest with
yep.
you. I remember Nick Sirianni got completely roasted his first ever press conference.
Dan Campbell, same thing.
Dan Campbell, biting kneecaps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? You know, two of the better coaches now and better organizations this year and teams, you know, in the NFC at least. So, yeah, but obviously, you know, you can have some fun with that, I guess. And if they don't, or they aren't good, things don't turn out, then that'll become a thing again.
Yep. All right, Sal, thanks so much for jumping on with us, and we'll talk again soon, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. Josh, it wasn't even just like how Duval. It was the eyebrow raise.
And the little head motion,
yeah.
too. Like, it was just weird. Like,
I like Liam Cohen as a coach, but I'm like, man, don't do it. Just don't do it.
I just saw it. It's crazy. Embarrassing.
It's crazy.
It's wild.
And then you have Aaron Glenn where, yeah, by the end of it, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to run through a wall. And I hate
yeah,
the Jets.
He also, Aaron Glenn also, like, it sounds like he wants nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. Every question yeah. he got asked about Aaron Rodgers, he's like, I just,
sure.
no, I'm not answering
sure.
that. Like, it was, that part was interesting. Like, I wonder what's going to happen in New York. If he is, you know, how he sounded in his press conference, the Jets could, you know, start to turn things around maybe. But then again, they are still the Jets. And they are still going to make those questionable decisions.
Yeah,
so.
they feel like they're going to need to go through a full reset. I think Miami's getting towards there as well. Mm-hmm. Like that's the funny part. Like as frustrated as we all are at the end of this, I think the AFC East has never been more open to the Bills to just
yeah. The only team
win
you really,
it in 10 games.
The only team you really have to worry about realistically really, right now yeah. is eventually the New England Patriots,
yep.
if they get everything right.
A lot of cap
and that's
space.
If they get everything right.
Yep, a lot of cap space. They have to draft well. We've already kind of seen with Elliott Wolf. His first draft, not great.
Nope.
After Drake,
hey,
not
but
great.
But you know
at all.
What? He didn't draft a round three lineman in the first round, so it's fine.
Yeah, like that's a fair point, actually. It is not a high bar
they
to
are,
get over.
They are moving up. But again, they are the closest team, I think, but they're still like 2-3 years down the road.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go back to the phones, and Steve joins us next. Steve, how are we doing on this fine morning?
You know, like you guys said, it's a morning for sure.
I know. I tried to be more positive there, and it didn't feel right.
Yeah. You know, it was obviously a rough start for Allen, and I think just as a Bills fan, like my own coping mechanism with it is, I just think I'm going to get this when Josh plays Miami, Josh, in these playoff games. And, you know, it's... I don't want to dog the coaches because they put him in a spot to go and drive and win these games, and it's just not happening. And, you know, this version of Josh Allen, I mean, he's going into the amen corner of his career with the physical freak that he is, where, you know, you can only expect him to be this beast for
right.
three more years. And even, you know, he didn't push through and get those short yardage downs that we thought. So, you know, does he start working out in the off season? Does he change himself a little bit to try and improve physically? But
mm-hmm.
it just makes you, you know, I think he's going to get it. I just, you know, there's always that fear of what happened with Stafford and Detroit that kind of looms just a little bit harder, whereas, you know, is he just going to be so great here and then we're going to lose him and we're going to have this metaverse where we have split jerseys of Josh Allen when he's going to win in the Super Bowl with the 49ers
yeah.
after he's traded. So, that's, you know, not to go to a dark place, but, you know, still confident he's going to get it done. But it gets a little scary every year that we don't get it.
Steve, man, I totally get it. Thanks for the call. And yeah, of course, like every year you go by. I mean, like I had a point too. If you had asked me 3-4 years ago, I mean, I thought all these guys were going to get Super Bowls. They were all, in quote unquote, they were too talented.
Everyone would have their year. Like,
yeah.
This time you know, it's Lamar. This time it's Allen.
Yeah, the Chiefs couldn't be as dominant as they always were. I mentioned it yesterday. Like, I didn't think in 2020 they were going to necessarily be this, like, Michael Jordan-esque run that they seemingly are on. And yet here they are. And so, like, it is getting more and more stressful and worrisome that, like, every year goes by. And it also, it doesn't help that he himself at times is not getting it done. You know, 13 seconds is one thing. Mm-hmm. He gave you the lead. Yeah. But as we've all kind of mentioned now, that was only the divisional round. He'd have to eventually – or he would have to get past a Bengals team that you did not match up well with. We found that out after –
the next year.
Yeah, the next year. But, I mean, oh, that would – that'd have been a tough go, too, if all of a sudden like they do make that AFC Championship and they lost to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's painful that you keep losing to Kansas City, but we know, like, Cincinnati became kind of a bugaboo for them.
But if you had gotten a win over them that year, this would feel a little bit different. I don't think a lot different, but this would feel a little bit different.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the complete and utter domination it feels like that they're on, especially in the playoffs. It wouldn't feel like, I think, where many of us have gotten to, which is the regular season is meaningless. Why are we doing this? Like, it's right. It is just weeks where our players can get hurt. You know, we know we're going to be there in the playoffs.
Especially, why and that's kind of how last year felt.
Yeah,
especially
100%.
Because of the fact that you had your fifth and sixth string linebackers going up against the Chiefs last year. This year, it wasn't nearly as bad injury-wise. Of course, obviously, we talked about it. You lose Christian Benford early in the game, which was very unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, most of the game, you played clean. You didn't have any injuries. You didn't have anyone really missing. And ultimately, we find out afterwards, you know, Kincaid's been dealing with stuff all season long.
Yep.
But I just think that when you look at this rivalry as a whole, it's so difficult to look at from a record standpoint. Just because of the fact that if you take away the gravity of the games, it's pretty even because they're 5-5, I think, right? Or maybe 6-5 now.
I think it's 6-5 now.
But still, if you take away the gravity of the games, they're very even. But
yeah,
it's the importance of the game that makes it so uneven and so lopsided.
You know where the regular season wins feel hollow too? They're not getting the one seed.
Yeah, right. Especially this year. This year was one of the I think this year is more than most, right? Just because of the fact that you were the only team in the NFL to get up there and beat them, and you're kind of looking around like, guys, what are we doing?
Yeah, well, especially because of all the late game.
There was the Broncos win. Sorry.
But even the Raiders game though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, snap the ball correctly. We're looking all right. There's a few games there where you're like, come on,
Isaiah Likely. I think that is shrink your feet.
Yeah, I think that is a big reason why a lot of these regular season wins have begun to really feel hollow. Is that you're not even getting the one seed. You're not even getting home field advantage. Yeah, you got them to come to your place last year because they were the 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it didn't matter. You had no linebackers left. You know, and this is where we were talking about with the one seed. Home field advantage means a lot. Sure, it was also the rest aspect. You know, now looking back at it, Dalton Kincaid, bet he would have loved a little bit of rest for the knee. For the knees, because he also had fluid in the other one.
Right.
You know, it is what it is, but I think that's also become a frustrating aspect, too, that they are not getting the one seed, even when they do get the wins over them. And they're going to play them next year. And I think it's at home as well. I got to check now the 2025 opponents, but I believe it's at home. You got to see what you're going to do. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're going to continue to take your calls here until the top of the hour. We'll get you over to Sabres Live. As the Sabres are in action tonight, they take on Boston at 7 p.m. pregame coming up at 6. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
It's a special team. Like I told you guys earlier in the year that I really couldn't put my finger on what was happening. Some of the things that happened on this team didn't happen on those two Super Bowl teams that I had. Some of the bonds that we had, the way we prepared this coaching staff, this locker room, like it was things on this team that stood out that wasn't on like those last two Super Bowl teams that I had. It just didn't go our way.
There is a Buffalo Bills edge rusher, Von Miller. I heard Jeremy and Joe say it. I fully agree. I think that was probably his last game as a Buffalo Bill.
Mm-hmm.
He took the pay cut. It never really got off the ground due to his injury happening in his first season. And then, you know, there were some suspensions and stuff like that. And it's just there is sort of a like, what could have been with Miller because of how good that first half of his first season was.
Yeah, I remember just the feeling of watching him do that was just –
great.
This is it. This is as advertised. Right?
Five sacks against the Rams in week one. They looked unstoppable. Mm-hmm. He looked amazing. It was like, great, this is the play. He makes a key play against the Kansas City team in the regular season that gets him a win. Like, it's exactly what you paid for. And then he tears his ACL on Thanksgiving. Ultimately, I think being the second straight year.
That a Bills player tore his defense. ACL on Thanksgiving.
Because Trey the year prior and then Von Miller. And it was just like, come on. But they have to do way better at that position now. I mean, that's why we're talking about a Max Crosby or a Myles Garrett trade, is because they need to be much better there. I will tell you, though, also, that clip makes me feel not better at all, hearing that, like, all, you know there were things on this team that I didn't see on my two Super Bowl teams. Great, don't care. Don't care. You lost. Don't care.
Yeah.
It only twists the knife.
Right.
We'll see what happens, though. It's going to be a very interesting offseason for the Bills, especially because you showed that you can win kind of with anybody, and that the team will be good enough, even in years of transition. You've got a first-round pick. You've got 2 seconds. You do have some cap space. You're not eating up the dead cap anymore. I don't anticipate any of those massive cuts that we saw, or massive cuts and or trades that we saw last year. So, to Osiris Torrance's point, I think you're going to get a lot of the same team with a few additions here and there, but an addition like a Max Crosby or somebody like that would feel incredible and different, the whole thing. But I think it is going to be a lot of the same roster going into next year. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's get back to your phones as Cleveland is next to join us. Cleveland, how are we doing this morning?
Great. I'm absolutely triggered at some of the things that I heard earlier. First of all, please, if you're a Buffalo Bills fan hearing this, let this be the last day you entertain the fire McDermott or questioning McDermott anything. Since being the McDermott has shown up in Western New York, we have been not perennial playoff 10-win teams, AFC East winning teams, but Super Bowl contenders. And before them, we were too busy winning 6 and 7 games a year and undeveloping bad talent. So since Bean and McDermott has shown up, I've been nothing but smiles, and I would like them to stay here as long as they would like to stay here. Secondly, during the game, I absolutely don't think that play to Keon Coleman when we needed 6, that was not the play call. That was not the move. I don't think you throw it up to a rookie 50-50 ball in an AFC championship game, whether or not we've seen him do it. I don't think we've seen him do it enough to put that moment on him in that spot. I'm absolutely floored at the lack of production that we got out of Amari Cooper, or should I say the lack of targets we've given him. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's maybe he didn't get acclimated to the playbook in time. And I'm not just talking about the AFC Championship game. I'm talking about since he's been in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely floored. I thought he was going to be absolutely amazing. And lastly, I think that, again, and this is going back to my point with Bean and McDermott, these guys have done nothing but develop talent, great talent. Some of our talent has overachieved because of their coaching. And I absolutely believe that our weakness in the wide receiver room is what showed. And I love the idea of getting the Max Crosby, but I love the idea of getting a stud number one receiver even better, someone who can run routes elitely, because Keon Coleman does not run routes great at all. We do not have a route runner. I just feel like it's the blame goes all the way around. But let's stop. Again, I am absolutely triggered when I hear people question McDermott as if this guy and Bean's marriage has been nothing but W's for us. I'm sorry we don't have the greatest coach of all time. Spagnuolo dialed up an absolutely incredible blitz. We got to just tip our hats to that. I love Bean. I love McDermott. Let them stay here. Go Bills.
Cleveland, man, thanks for the call. I can get to most of that. I can understand where some of the complaints come with McDermott and Bean. Bean, I think especially, is somebody I'm getting more and more critical of as the years go by. His first round and even to a certain extent a lot of his second round picks are just not panning out. They're guys.
Mm-hmm. They're not unplayable, but they're not superstars, or they're not first or second round talents.
Yep. And busts will happen, but I think it's almost more painful when it's a first round pick that just you're like, he's good. And then you're debating a second contract or not. Right. I can almost argue that's worse. A bust, you know what to do. In some of the situations the Bills are in, you kind of don't know what to do. I've gotten to a point, I've said it a lot today and a little bit yesterday too. I've gotten to a point, it's just, I think it's time to kind of tip your hat a little bit to Kansas City where they're at. But that's where the talent comes in. Then you need to get more talent than them. You can't also be beat on the talent level. And they've got a Hall of Famer in Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, elite players in guys like Trent McDuffie. Nick Bolton's an amazing linebacker for them as well. George Karlaftis, a late-round edge rusher they got, is a huge disruptor on that defensive line. Those are where some of my issues are. To the wide receivers, outside of Khalil Shakir, I think it's probably right to say they don't really have any elite route runners. I love what Shakir does. There is a limit, though, to what he does because he does not really play much on the outside. He's not going to be a guy that's going to demand 130 targets.
In terms of going to get somebody, though, like at this point, it's basically just like T. Higgins, right?
Yeah, and I'm not doing that.
Like, who else is available that you could go out and get right now that would be a number one wide receiver? It's T. Higgins and
Amari Cooper.
right. Yeah. But even then, is Amari Cooper your best option?
No. I think for me, I'm always going to be somebody not really going in free agency to add a big-time wide receiver. I like to, honestly, what they do with Curtis Samuel. 2-3-year deal here. You're going to come in. We have, an idea for you, the whole thing. I mean, again, if he doesn't get a tear in his toe, we might have something
true.
Here.
Because he did turn it on a little bit towards the end of the year. I mean, you can hopefully see that next year more because he's in a 3-year deal.
Yep. I'm always somebody, though. I'll look to the draft. I mentioned it with Jeremy and Joe on the way out. A month and a half ago, I wanted Matthew Golden.
Yeah.
He really turned it on to the point where I don't think he'll be there.
But
in their first round pick, I like Isaiah Bond, though.
But do you think they can get a number one wide receiver with a late first or even a mid to late second?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
The high ends, you're looking at guys like Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson's late first. You know, that's the high ends. Mm-hmm. But I think you can get a really, really good receiver in the late first.
Because I'm just thinking about this. It's kind of skewed because this past draft had so many names in it and so many guys that went all over the place that are going to be good NFL talents eventually. But it was a bit skewed because it was a draft that was loaded up with wide receivers. You knew that going into it. And sure, some of them might not pan out. Some of them haven't panned out so far. But I just wonder, can you get what you need in the draft?
I think so, absolutely.
Okay.
It's not the receiver class that it was last year. I think there's probably going to be maybe three guys taken in the first round because there's a lot of talent at the edge rushers, early offensive line, the defensive tackle class. Everybody that covers the draft has been saying the same thing. This is a very deep defensive tackle class, which works out really well for the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of your biggest needs.
I'm looking at some of the wide receiver free agents. You got Diggs, T. Higgins, Keenan Allen. It's kind of interesting there, I think. Not as own number one, but just as a guy. Amari Cooper, and the next one to round up the top five, Chris Godwin. So really nothing that super jumps off the page, but there are some names out there this offseason that you could theoretically entertain. But again, not really any number one wide receiver guys except for T. Higgins. But that's going to cost you. I mean, is that worth it? But it's a lot of cap.
Yep. Next up, let's go to Ed on the line. Ed, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just to transition from last caller, was that 10 or 11 absolutely? I couldn't keep track.
It was a lot. I can understand. I can understand the vibes. I get it.
So just one further thought from him, what you guys were just saying, and that gets my point is, I don't think an elite wide receiver free agent wise is the way to go, because we've seen so many teams, either double or put their best player on that receiver, and then you're out of luck. But my point, I think they need to build on defense. But my point is, I went back and looked, so 10 of the last 13 AFC championship games have been won by the home team, and I think that, combined with what I'll say in a minute, is sort of the road to victory for the Bills here. You got to have enough bites at the apple with home field advantage as the top seed, i.e., in the championship game. You got to get to the championship game, and if you're at home, I actually think they win that game if they were at home this past weekend. But the other issue here, guys, and I'll finish up, is that if you look at this year, right, with Bedford going out and Rapnop being in, last year the backs are out. The year before, Von Miller's out. Like, if I were the Bills, I would just stockpile as much defensive backs, linebacks, whatever, because that seems to be the kryptonite here when it comes to them exiting the playoffs. So thanks for taking the call, guys.
Ed, man, thanks for the calling in. And it's tough. You only have so many roster spots, and that's the thing is you can prepare for injuries and all that. But even if you stockpile, eventually your depth's just not going to be that good. We saw it. I mean, the first two or the top two corners for the Bills, not bad. Benford, very good. Russell Douglas, bit of a down year this year. And then you saw it. I mean, the first round talent they had at the position, we talked with Sal Capaccio about it. Not playing at an NFL level. So even if you try to stockpile, you're going to miss. I agree. I think they need to build through the defense this year. They do not have any true elite game-changing players. I think that has become a huge detriment to what they can do, and I think that's a big part of the Chiefs' success. They can close out games. Go to last year when they didn't have home field advantage. I want to get to that point, too. When they didn't have home field advantage, Chris Jones was ending games. He ended like three games in a row for them to get to the Super Bowl. The Bills really don't have that guy. They thought they had it in Von Miller. His first year here, he gets injured. We mentioned it. On home field, surprise, surprise, the Chiefs bucked the trend there when they won on the road. But to the point, I do think it's important, home field. I like the idea that maybe they could have won it if it was at home. I do like that idea, but we did see the Bills lose 2 years in a row at home in the playoffs, so it's not the end-all, be-all for me. I think the big difference there is the rest. You only have to win one game to get to the championship game. Your guys are staying healthy, to your point there as well. Like, guys are getting hurt. The Bills had the one seed. It's one less game. I'm not saying that they would have, you know, stayed healthy against Baltimore.
It makes a big difference.
But I think it makes a big difference, that little bit of rest to get you in. You don't want the too much. I think you saw a little bit with Kansas City against Houston, where there was a mixture of rust versus rest.
Yeah, but that's
to me, the rest I think matters more.
Those guys had also been sitting for like a month.
Yeah, that was aggressive.
And I also think too, when you have that one seed, you're playing a lesser team in the first game. Like, you know, obviously
the lowest ranked team in the divisional round.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, Houston was still a good team, but you'd take Houston over Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if there's an upset in the first round too, you take that team over whoever they beat, right? Like,
yeah,
it does provide its advantages, and home field is certainly one of them. But like you said, they lost two playoff games in a row at home after you wanted them at home. They
buck so many trends, tough. Though, where it's so frustrating. I know Derek Kramer brings up this a lot on Saturdays, and a few times me and him have been able to host together as well. Just they do take a lot of the fun out of football, especially when your team is good, because it's just, yeah, you're like, yeah, get him at home, we got him. Yeah, mm-hmm. You lost at home.
Yeah,
you know, get him this year. Their offense doesn't look that great. Well, they were hiding a lot of stuff, and they just pulled it all out of their hat in the playoffs, and now you're dealing with a team that looks, you know, back to what Kansas City looks like. I mean, I think they are favored against Philadelphia, and Philadelphia, on paper, I'd say, is a much better roster than them. I think that might be the best roster in football. It's just, I think they're going to get them maybe once or twice here by the end. It almost feels like at a certain point, you get the one seed to just hope to maybe avoid them. Kind of do what Kansas City did this year, where, well, one of Baltimore and Buffalo is going to take each other out. We'll pick up the scraps kind of deal. We'll let them duke it out, and we'll pick up the scraps. I mean, ultimately, I don't think it became that, where just the Bills were just emotionally shot by the end of it. But that also is something to the one seed, especially in the AFC. You don't have to deal with Baltimore or Kansas City or maybe Cincinnati until at the latest the AFC Championship game. Because there's a really good chance they're not going to be the 5 or the 6 or the 7 seed. And even if they are, you're kind of sitting there going, all right, we probably should be able to get them. We should probably be able to beat them here. And I think that's where it comes into it. You get to avoid the top teams until the end. Plus, you get a little bit of rest. And you're at home. I think there's a lot to it. The 1 seed is somewhat, you know, quote-unquote overpowered now, especially because the 2 seed doesn't get the bye anymore. But it is what it is. You've been able to beat Kansas City in the regular season every year for the last 4 years, and you still haven't been able to get that one seed. I think that's got to be something the Bills have to, and it has been something that they're looking at a lot, but it's got to be something they get here at some point in this run. 803-0550, the number two call. Going to take a quick timeout here. One final segment here before we get you to Sabres Live. We'll do that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Hey! Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up our day here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We, of course, have been getting connected to our fans all day, and that's brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Sabres are back from their Western road trip, back to regularly scheduled programming. 7 o'clock tonight at home against Boston, 6 p.m. pregame. Nicholas Abe-Cabell. Yesterday, Josh was placed on waivers. Didn't even realize he played 19 games this year. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, he did.
Signed, I thought it was way less.
Offseason, and, you know, it's kind of one of those moves, I guess. I don't really know why it's a move, but could mean that Greenway's coming back. There hasn't been anything too much on that yet. I think Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff said yesterday, I think, that he's getting close, but he wasn't at practice today for the optional skate. So who knows? I mean, it could be just trying to make a roster spot for when
Elias
Greenway comes
Pettersson.
Back.
There we go.
I didn't want to say it, but
I'll say it. I'll say it because it won't happen. You know how I feel. You know how I feel.
If they can make that trade happen, man.
I wish they would. I don't think they will. That's my problem.
From everything that a lot of, you know, the insiders and everything have been saying, like specifically like Elliot Friedman, they're not flat out saying that the Sabres are the front runner, but they're kind of suggesting that. I did read one thing from Darren Dreger that the Sabres have been in on this since day one, which
I hope
cool,
so.
Cool, but I need you to be the winner on day whatever.
Yeah, because like, I lose my mind of like, we were making calls, you know, we were right there. You know,
yeah,
we were unwilling to give up, you know, this whatever prospect.
The last time I checked, phone calls didn't win hockey games. So out there and trade for the best available center in the league. And also pair him up with Rasmus Dahlin. The two of them are like not best friends or anything, but they had a lot of incredible plays together on Team Sweden.
Great chemistry.
They have great chemistry. Having those two along with Tage Thompson on a power play, you don't even need the other two guys on the ice. Those three alone would score you all your goals.
Those three alone would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for me and Josh. We'll be back on tomorrow for another 10 to 12 Extra Point Show. But coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. For more on the Sabres, they are, again, back in action tonight, 7 p.m. against Boston, 6 p.m. pregame, both right here on WGR. And this is WGR.